Hallelujah. We are going to get to Genesis 26, but not quite, because I need to just give you a wee background as to why we're going to Genesis 26. So in order to tell you that, I need to go back to last Monday, where we had our prayer meeting. But before I want to tell you what happened in the prayer meeting, I need to ask you the question. How's your prayer life? How is your prayer life corporately? Because as a church, we're not praying corporately. We're praying as individuals, and that's wonderful and that's powerful. But as a church, we're not praying corporately. And that's critical to the growth of this place and the growth of you as an individual. I know that some of you don't come to prayer meetings because you don't like praying in public. We can help you through that journey. We can assist you through that journey. One thing that Glenara says, church, is a safe place. And you're allowed to get it wrong. Let me tell you, I've prayed some dumb prayers in my nearly 30 years of walking with Jesus. But I am growing in how to pray. I am learning, not having learned. Learning how to pray. And you know, I get great encouragement. I mean, I used to laugh, you know, because I remember coming to early prayer meetings and John would be there. I'm going way back when I first got saved. And John makes me laugh when he prays, as well as blesses me and encourages me and inspires me. Because have you ever heard John pray? And one thing that stands out for me when John prays is, Father, Lord, Lord, Father, Father, Lord, Lord, Father. You can't count them. There are that many. Father, Lord, Lord this and Father that and Father, Lord and Lord, Father. And I just laugh. But he's got a revelation of who he's talking to. And man, he always repeats it. And I've learned. I've learned so much from different people and how to pray. Jesus even teaches us how to pray. There's a surprise. You know, so I praise God that God is not... God's not limited by the packed prayer house or the leased prayer house, where two or three are gathered in my name. And I'm not saying this to boost the prayer meeting's attendances. I'm saying this to strengthen you. That's why not. I'm saying this to strengthen you, to encourage you, because you need to come together to pray with your brothers and sisters. Forget not the assembling of the saints. That's not just a Sunday morning. That's every function and unction that we have. We should be. And I know that family commitments can rule things out. I know that work commitments can rule things out. But you know, things like, oh, I'm tired. Things like, oh, my favorite TV program's on. I'm sorry, it doesn't cut it with me. Because we all get tired. Jesus even got tired, but he still made it to prayer meetings. You know, when you say you're tired, Romans chapter 7, total 100% flesh. But there's a spirit man inside you longing to get to prayer meetings. So the question, how's your prayer life? We will get to the wells. We've got the next ministering for the next three Sundays, Larry. So praise God, we'll get to the wells. But I want to inspire us that we need to be coming together to hear what God is saying to us corporately. Because we're going to minister from a word that Craig brought us last Monday night. And apart from three of you, none of you have got a clue what it was. And that saddens me. As your pastor, that saddens me. That you're not hearing what God is telling us at these times. For us corporately. You're now having to rely on somebody ministering this word from the front. Something wrong there. Something wrong. And I think we need to prioritize prayer high on our list. What is it? Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 18. And I'll read firstly from the NIV, and then I'll read firstly from the King James, and then from the NIV. The King James from Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now, the reason why I'm reading it in the NIV is because I can't understand it in the King James. But I know that people can. But the NIV says, and pray on the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. How often do we pray, Margie? All the time. Always, all the time, praying for all the saints. So we need to ask the question, how is our prayer life? Corporately. I'm not talking about you as an individual. I know that Bill's met a friend who prays for 6 hours, so Bill will now be praying for 7 hours a day and 8 hours a day. And Andrew Womack fell into that trap all those years ago when he used to pray for 17 hours in a day, Bill. He prayed 17 hours a day. Then the devil came in and beat him up and said, hey, there's 24 hours in a day. What's wrong with the other seven? So just pray as you're led by the Holy Spirit. It's not a time thing. It might just be 6 minutes, not 6 hours. It might be 6 seconds. Just pray as you're led by the Holy Spirit. And you'll find how to be led by the Holy Spirit in Romans chapter 8, life by the Spirit. Amen. Just turn the page. Quit living in Romans chapter 7 and live in Romans chapter 8. Curse, you can't be blessed and cursed at the same time. There's one for you deliverance ministry guys. You cannot be blessed and cursed at the same time. It's only in your flesh you're cursed. Well, I no longer live according to the flesh. I live life by the Spirit. And the Word of God says, I'm blessed.
Amen.
Amen indeed. That's a resounding amen. Hallelujah. So we need to live life by the Spirit of God. I'm not saying there's no need for deliverance ministry. I pray deliverance ministry prayers. But I wish the church would get a hold of who we are in Christ. That allows you, enables you to live life by the Spirit. Too many of us, when something goes wrong, John, I'm picking on you, I apologize, but you're my friend and I love you and the church know that I love you. John had an accident in the car and the first thing he starts to think about, what curses upon my life? What causes me to keep doing this? The guy had an accident. It was an accident. It wasn't a demonic attack. It was an accident. Some things in life, things happen. It was an accident. A demon didn't maneuver that guy to pull out in front of John, to block John's road where John had to avoid him and John had to crash into a hedge. That wasn't a demon that did that. That was a man just negligent. So we need to quit trying to find demonic causes for our problems. I'm not saying there isn't demonic problems for our problems sometimes, but we give them far too much glory. Man, sometimes the devil sits in our prayer meetings and thinks, wow, I never thought of that. I'm taking a note of that one. We give him the information for these things. We give him far too much credence. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Why do we always keep looking for what's wrong rather than what's right? Man, I've preached that one until I'm blue in the face in the States just recently. Ladies, you've put your makeup on. You've put your lipstick on, your eyeliner on, your cover, and all this stuff, Margie, you put on. You've done your hair, just like me this morning. We've done our hair. You know, and the first thing Margie does is looks in the mirror and says, well, what hair's out of place? She looks for what's wrong. So did you, Julie, this morning. You put all that stuff on this morning. You combed all that beautiful hair. And then you looked in the mirror and went, well, what hair's out of place? You didn't see the million that was in place. You saw the one that was out of place. And that's like life. It's so like life. We look in the mirror to see what's wrong. Well, the Word of God is a mirror. And this tells you there's a lot more right than there is wrong, Stephen Jackson.
Amen.
So don't you keep telling me what's wrong in your life, because I know there's loads more right in your life.
Amen.
Man, I'm in good form this morning, can do. Hallelujah. It's good to be back amongst my own folks. No need to slow down and make yourself understood. You can just go with the flow. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. By the way, Stuart Bond, stop sending me messages via Facebook about rugby. Hallelujah. That's all I'm saying. You only sing when you're winning. But that's another story. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So is our prayer, is prayer central and is it significant part of our life corporately? This is all about corporate prayer. This is not about you as an individual, because I know there are some mighty praying people in this place individually. I have no problem or issues with that. That's not my nag. That is not my complaint this morning. And my complaint is, I believe it's a wholesome complaint, because as a church we need to come together and pray together. Is prayer a daily discipline for you? Or do we mainly pray when we're going through hard times, difficult times? I have progressed through that. I used to. Even God spoke to me on the night of my salvation, 12th of August 1988, around 9 p.m. when the guy was ministering the word. There was Jesus out in the boat with his disciples. Jesus was sleeping. Disciples, seasoned campaigners, seasoned fishermen, came up into this storm and they woke up a carpenter of no seasonal experience on the seas. But the guy who were seasoned sailors, seasoned fishermen, were afraid for their lives, turned to a carpenter and said, "Don't you care if we drown?" Truth be told, he cares more for us than we do for ourselves. Amen. But you know, they turned to Jesus. Jesus calmed the storms, and that was wonderful. All of a sudden, I've got a voice in my head. I thought I was hearing voices in my head that night. I now know it was the Holy Spirit prompting me before salvation, saying, "That's like you. Whenever you're in trouble up the town on a Friday or a Saturday night, you cry out to me, 'Oh God, help me.'" I thought, wow, that is so true. Then I started to freak out, thinking, "Whose is this voice that I'm hearing in my head? How did this voice in my head know that I did cry out, 'Oh God, help me,' when I got into trouble on a Saturday night?" And then I started to compose myself and listen to the minister again, listen to wee Alec Gillis again, and hear what he was saying. And then this voice came back, and this is what really blew my mind. He said, "John," he knew my name. This voice knew my name. I didn't even know who was talking to me at the time. He said, "John," then he said this, "I'm not just for emergencies only. I want to speak to you all the time." And you know, many of us in the church, and I used to be one of those, but many of us in the church are just seeking God in times of emergency. Seeking God when the going's a wee bit tougher. Well, God wants to speak to me and you all the time. We just need to turn around, like Sarah said this morning, and there he's there. Turn around is simply repent. That's all it is. That's what I got from Sarah. Just repent. I think it was a song, John. I can't remember who sang it, but there was a song. Maybe, I don't know who it was, but we can go a thousand steps away from God, but God's only one step back. And that's what I thought of this morning when Sarah was showing us that. That we can walk away and walk away and walk away, but as soon as we turn, wow, he's right there. Amen. So hallelujah for his faithfulness towards us. So do we pray only when we're maybe home alone? Or do you find that you only pray and worship the Lord when you come to church and in the presence of other worshiping and praying people? Do we pray regularly, as the scripture we read requires? You know, but unfortunately, most people in their prayer life were on again, we're off again, we're on again, we're off again when it comes to prayer. They're faithful for a while, but then we fall out of it because, well, maybe we get too tired, maybe we're up early. We have all these other distractions in life, and they are just distractions to keep you away from the things of God, the corporate things of God. God has got a lot to say through you for his body. And if you're not there, we're not receiving what God is saying through you. And I praise God that Craig came along on Monday night, and boy, that word that he shared just powerfully impacted me. I started to scribble down. I started to forget everything else that was going on. And that's okay, because that's what I was meant to hear. And that's the same time when you're taking notes in church and listening to your favorite minister, or just taking notes from a sermon or whatever. You know, there'll be one word even that this speaker might say that catches your attention. And don't worry about taking notes and forgetting everything else the guy's saying. That one thing was meant for you. That's what you were meant to get a hold of. And I do that a lot when I'm in meetings such as this. Whoever's ministering will say one thing. It's like Chris, and we'll come to Chris Cree, because he spoke all about finances for the last 3 weeks there before Emma got up. So Chris had 3 solid weeks there of teaching about finances. And Chris said one thing that wasn't even pertaining to finances I took a hold of, and I just missed out the rest of his teaching. Thankfully, I can get it caught up with it on the podcast. But during those times of teaching, he just said something. He wasn't even teaching on it, but the Holy Spirit brought it to my attention, and we'll look at that over the next couple of weeks as well. So don't worry about when you're taking notes and missing everything. You've got ways out. There's one, the Holy Ghost can bring it back to your remembrance, what was said. 2, it's on the church website. And in relation to the church website, and in relation to what Chris was teaching, if you go down to the main page on the church's website, glenarrischristian.co.uk, you'll find down there some videos, video links, and you'll find 4 teachings from Andrew Womack Ministries all about the tithe. And that endorses and fully underpins and underlines what Chris was teaching over this last wee while. So I just want to further encourage you to keep digging into these treasures that Christ has begun to open up for you. Amen. So hallelujah. So we're faithful for a while, but then we fall out of prayer because of various reasons. Yet Paul in Romans 12:12 tells us to be faithful in prayer. To be faithful in prayer. And in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it tells us to pray continually. Now, I know we do that as individuals. I'm not talking about that. I want to underline that all the time. This is church corporate prayer. But how often are we supposed to pray? Well, again, in Ephesians 6:18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The word always is taken from a Greek phrase called en pantai kairo. En pantai kairo. And the word en, E-N, is better translated at. At. A-T, at. The word pantai means each and every. So you could say the word pantai, it's an all-encompassing word that embraces everything, including the smallest and minute of details. And the last word in this Greek phrase, en pantai kairo, kairo, is the Greek word means times or seasons. So when all three of these words are used together in one phrase, which is en pantai kairo, as in Ephesians 6:18, they could be more accurately translated at each and every season. So we're meant to be praying at each and every season. When you feel like it, you pray. When you don't feel like it, you pray. When you're busy, you pray. When you're not busy, you pray. We just pray unceasingly all the time. That's how we're meant to be praying. So Ephesians 6:18 conveys almost this idea. Pray anytime there is opportunity. Pray anytime there is an opportunity. No matter where you are or what you are doing. Use every occasion, every season, every possible moment to pray. And that clearly, it clearly tells us that prayer is not an option for the Christian who is serious about his or her spiritual life. And according to Ephesians 6:18, believers are to make prayer top priority. And I want this church, Glen Aris Church, not you as an individual, I want us collectively to make prayer priority. I want us to get so busy that room one cannot contain us. We have to have our prayer meetings in here. That's how I see the prayer meetings. That's how I have seen you all coming in here by your hundreds, wanting to pray, wanting to come before God. Because church, there are things inside you that are not yours. There's words of life. There's words of encouragement. There's songs of healing. There's songs of deliverance. There's things locked up inside you that we are giving you an opportunity to release those miracles, to release those words of life, to release those words of encouragement to your brothers and sisters. Why would you not want to come along and bless somebody else with what's inside your storehouse? Well, one of the reasons why we don't, sadly, is because we're selfish. And I'm not picking on you. My hand's up there straight away. We are selfish. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I've had a busy day. Well, there was nobody ever any more busy than Jesus, and he still had time to pray with his folks. I know he took himself alone. I know he took himself away to be with the Father to pray. But I'll bet you Jesus never once missed a prayer meeting corporate. He longed. He just enjoyed the fellowship of his brothers and sisters. So hallelujah. 1 Peter 4, verse 7, I really believe is a verse which is for the church today. It says, the end of all things is near. Well, that's true. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled. Finish it off. So that you can pray. So that you can pray. The scriptures are very clear, the importance of prayer. So maybe if prayer isn't a if corporate prayer isn't priority in your life right now, if prayer meetings are not priority in your life right now, well, why not make that a priority today? Why not make that resolve? We have one prayer meeting per month. That's a big demand, I know. Once every 30 days, we pray together. That's a huge demand. Man, I don't know if I can keep that once in 30 days. You mean Jesus gives me 29 and I've got to take one? See what I'm saying? I'm sorry to nag you. No, I'm not. I'm doing this for your good and for my good and for this church's good. And listen, for the further afield body of Christ's good. I don't think you really have any idea fully what's going to happen in this place, what's going to come out of this place. And we need to waken up to that. How do you waken up to that, Julie? By attending prayer meetings. By getting to know what God's saying to us corporately. Getting enthused and infused by that. Getting excited by that. We're meeting with the council just very soon, just as an update for you all. Y'all. Lisa. And they've pretty much now thrown it back into our laps. Now, we as elders haven't really met corporately yet to discuss this. We've done emails and phone calls and stuff. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn by saying this, but they've pretty much thrown it back onto our laps now, saying there's no money to be spent on the building. Do you want it? And my initial thought was, yeah, I'll take it. Because here's the thing, God never promised it to me for a pound in the first place. Sorry, they never promised it to me for a pound in the first place. God did. I'm not relying on them doing anything to this building because I know that God is raising up partners globally that are going to invest in this place. God tells us these things at prayer meetings as well. You know, they've done works. They've patched rough cast. They've taken up the soft play area to put a new soft play area down. I wish they hadn't done that. They told us there's no money, but they found money to do this. I wish they'd had a discussion with us and said, what works would you like done? Please do the toilets. Please do the ladies and gents. Please bring them back up to the 21st century. But you know what? They've spent it out there, and hallelujah, I'll take that out there. But you know what? Edith, they never gave me another dime. It's a no-brainer. You get a building for a pound, and it was God's promise to give it for a pound in the first place. There was never any clauses by God saying, get it for a pound, but make sure they do this work, that work, and the other work. God says, I'll give it to you for a pound. They're now saying, do you want it? It's a no-brainer. And I truly believe that God is raising up people all over the world to be partners to what we're wanting to do here. We've seen it firsthand. We've seen it firsthand that people are sowing into our lives globally. Why would they not sow into the church life globally? Remember the man I told you, this total stranger, this random stranger came out and donated £700 to the church because he saw us online? Well, that same man has just sown another £700 into the life and times of the church. Now, how many more of those guys are out there? You see, get excited. This is why you need to come to these meetings, because you start to hear these things. It builds your faith up, stirs you up, and you start to then blast that into other folks. Hallelujah. We'll get to the wells. We can make loads of excuses. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to do this. Listen, you've got time to do what you really want to do. Amen. I challenge young Phil, and I make no bones about making this broadcast, but younger Phil, I see him periodically at the gym. I always see him at the gym. But I nag him because I don't see him here. And I said, you can make room for the things you love. And Phil listens. Phil's a good listener. And that caught his attention. And I'm just hounding. I believe the Holy Spirit through me is hounding that boy that he needs to prioritize. We can make time for this, that, and the other. But we need to make time for the things of God. We can. We have. We really can. We can make time. We have time to do whatever we really want to do. If it's really in your heart to pray, then you can find the time to pray. And listen, if your life or your schedule is as busy as you think it is, then we need to take Ephesians 6:18 to heart. Take that verse to heart to pray all the time. Keep on praying for all of the saints. So we need to make a quality decision to make prayer the first order of business. Amen. Hallelujah. Now we're going to Genesis 26. Now the reason why I've shared all of that is really because it was Craig's fault. Because the prayer meeting on Monday night was just so powerful. And boy, it really impacted me because Craig started to speak a word. He was praying in tongues to begin with. And then it just broke out into English. And that again satisfied me because I'm thinking, Lord, what's he saying? I'm not getting any translation. I'm not getting any understanding. I'm not getting any revelation of of this, but the tongues that he was praying in was just his own private, personal tongue. It wasn't a tongue to the body, so therefore no interpretation was needed. But I just knew there was something grumbling going on inside, deep within his spirit. And I'm thinking, Lord, got to speak in English. And boy, Holy Ghost just took a hold of Craig's tongue and he started to speak in English. And I've scribbled down my notes from what Craig was saying. But Craig started off by saying, no man can cap the well. No man can cap the well. Then he said, Glenaris is the well, which is still flowing from the throne of heaven. Oh, hallelujah. Then he said, it's crystal clear water that quenches the thirst of any man. It's pure holiness. And then he went on to say other things, but this was satisfying me. This was all I needed to know, because as he's ministering these words and just speaking these words out, I'm immediately thinking of Abraham's wells. And God said to me, John, you need to read Genesis chapter 26. And you need to read and study. So I've been in here all week. And Genesis chapter 26. So if you'd like to turn there with me to Genesis, the 26th chapter. And I'm not going to try and finish this today because there's far too much to say. So over the next 2 or 3 weeks, I'm going to just share what God is laying on my heart, which I believe is important for us corporately to grow together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So it says, I'm just going to read Genesis 26. I'm going to read through 1 through 11. No, I'm not. I'm going to read 1 through 6. Most of you will be familiar with the story of Isaac and his wife and how he pretended that she was his sister. So I don't really want to focus on that. I want to focus on Abraham's wells. So we're reading from Genesis 26, reading from verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land, besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar, I don't know how you say it. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in the land for a while, and I will be with you and will bless you. For to you and your descendants I will give all these lands and will confirm the oath I swore to your father Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and you will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements. Where it says in the NIV offspring in verse 4, it says, and it's critical you read it in the King James, it says seed, singular. If you've got a King James Bible, underline that word seed, because that is critical to this story that we're reading. Verse 5 says, because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commands, my decrees, and my laws, so Isaac stayed in Gerar. Hallelujah. In verse 1, now there was famine in the land, besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. So this is not the same famine as in the time of Abraham. This is another time of famine. And I think that's critical and crucial that you take note that here's another famine. Because what happened after the first famine? They got through it and they prospered. Famines come and famines go. But sometimes we think famines come to stay. Well, they don't. And that's why I think it's recorded. Now, there was a famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time. What God is highlighting to the Israelites here is, and to his people is, look, back then you went through a tough time and I set you free and I delivered you. Now you're entering into another famine. Just remember what I did to your forefathers. As I set them free, I'm going to set you free. What's that called? Building memorials. As you would say in Scotland, building a cairn. Building a pile of stones. You need to build memorials. Remember Gemma, when life was a bit tougher and life was a bit harder? Well, God got you through, sweetheart. Now, days can come again. And you might think, oh my goodness, am I ever going to get through this? Well, you need to remember that wee pile of stones you built, Gemma. And say, see that God that was faithful to you then? The same God that's going to be faithful to you now. Sometimes in life, things just happen. It's not an attack of the enemy. It's just rubbish. Sometimes just comes at us. We go through difficult days, but God who delivered you yesterday will deliver you today and tomorrow and forever.
Amen.
Truly true. It's truly true. Listen, now there was famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, listen, do not go down to Egypt. Underline that in your Bibles. Do not go down to Egypt. Listen, there was no famine in Egypt. God is telling them to stay where they are in a place of famine.
Amen.
The obvious thing for me and you to do on our own understanding is to go to the land of plenty. Because there's the provision. It's all there. God says, no, you don't go down to that place there. I've got something special for you here. I don't think there's many of us would stay in the land of famine. If we knew, for example, 15 miles down the road in Annan, they've got an abundance, I think we'd all be relocating to Annan. Well, let's say Beatuck or Moffat. You would. You would want to relocate to where the blessing is. But I'll tell you, I would rather live with God in a time of famine than live with him in a place of abundance. Sorry, live not with him in a place of abundance. I would rather be right where God wants me to be in this land of famine, knowing that he's told me to be here, rather than go over here where there's just an abundance, but God's not called me there. I would rather be back there because he's going to look after me. He's made the covenant with me. He's promised me he'll look after me. He's promised me he'll sustain me, even in times of famine. The psalmist tells us that God will keep you alive in times of famine.
Amen.
What does that mean, John? It means that you're going to have times of famine. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. Jesus says in John 16:33, you're going to have trouble. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news. But
Amen.
I've overcome the world. I've deprived it of power to harm you and I've conquered it for you. Nothing shall harm you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen, indeed. So here he's telling them not to go down to Egypt. Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live, Lisa. Live in the land where I tell you to live. And she's done it. Where's husband? He's at home. They've done it. Hallelujah, they've done it. You relocated. You came to the place where God called you to be. Andrew Womack's got a great teaching. If you've never heard of it, it's called A Place Called There. You need to listen to that teaching. Just go online and find A Place Called There. And you'll find there, the ravens will feed you.
Amen.
There'll be clothes for you in abundance. There'll be provision for you in that place. Why? Because God called you there.
Amen.
And if God's called you here, then this is the best place for you.
Amen.
Don't go field hopping, bad for your health. I remember your sermons. You see, I remember what the Lord speaks. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So appearances can be deceptive. Look what it says. Stay in this land a while. Stay in this land for a while, and I will be with you and bless you. Oh, give me the God's blessing any time in the provision of the world. You know, there, it will run out. You know, and next Saturday, guys, we're going to be looking at the widow's oil. Phil, you saw that in India all those years ago, and I don't think many of the guys have seen it, maybe one or two. But you know, what ran out that time with the widow's oil, with the time of Elisha, in the time of Elisha, what ran out? The vessels ran out. The jars ran out. Earth's supply ran out. Earth's containers ran out. The provision of heaven didn't run out. It was still flowing. And had they had more jars, it would have still flowed. And had they had more jars, it would have still flowed. God's looking for jars to fill.
Amen.
He's looking for jars to fill, and that's you. He's just looking to continually pour out, pour out, pour out. And Margie, you'll discover you'll never outgive God. Hallelujah. None of us will. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I want you to stay where God has called you to be. Don't go down to that which looks pleasing and plentiful. You know, we might not fully understand why we're in this place of famine or drought or apparent lack, but God's got a big plan. Amen. It didn't look like Joseph would one day be the prime minister of the whole of a heathen nation. But did it look like that? You know what it says of Joseph? You know, there he was on the slave block, standing naked, apart from a loincloth, standing naked. And the scripture says, and he was prosperous. He's on a slave block, Linda. He's not got a stitch to his body, Gemma. And God said, he's prosperous. Oh, that we would view ourselves as God views us. Oh, that we could see what he sees. And we can see in Romans chapter 8 if we live life by the Spirit. You won't see in Romans chapter 7 grumbling and griping attitudes. How's this happening? What have I done? How's the enemy always coming against me? That makes me laugh when folks say, oh man, I must be doing something really right. Man, I must be going in the right direction because boy, the devil's coming at me big time. Whenever I hear that, the first thing I always do is I turn to my Susan and say, well, we must be going in the wrong direction. What do you mean? I said, well, I'm never aware of this enemy coming against me. I'm never aware of all this pressure coming against me. And I don't believe for a minute we're going in the wrong direction. I believe we're going in the right direction. I'm just not aware of his attacks. I'm just aware of God's protection. Amen. I've just got a different focus from some of you. That's all it is. And God wants to change our focuses onto the things of him rather than the things of an enemy. We give him far too much credence and far too much credit. Man, when I'm preparing messages, I don't even give Satan a capital S. I give him a small S. And the computer dictionary always tries to correct it. I'm thinking, no chance, you're not correcting it. So I've now programmed it in there that he gets a small S every time. Hallelujah. I wouldn't even give him a capital S. I wouldn't give him the credence to be that important. He's a nothing. He's an absolute nothing with a rim knocked off, as a man once said. Hallelujah. So are we following God's direction, as Isaac was about to do? And stay where you are. And keep doing what you're doing, regardless of what happens in the physical realm. God, according to Philippians 4:19, supplies our needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You and me are not limited to this world's economy. We're not limited to this world's economy. Hebrews 13:5 tells us that he would never leave us nor forsake us. He's always with us. And me and you should be expecting God's blessing on whatever you do. And that's just what you touched on this morning. It's not only as if it was Jesus praying through you. It is Jesus praying through you. Mm-hmm. You know, and you should be expecting when you lay hands on somebody, they're going to get healed. You should be expecting that. You should be expecting miracles to follow you, signs and wonders to accompany them that believe. So we should be expecting these things, Bill. So praise God, your eyes are opening up, my friend. There is always a place called there. And I want you to look at that teaching of Andrew Womack's, a place called there. And that's based on 1 Kings 17. You'll find where Andrew takes all that teaching from. But you know, the reason why Isaac was blessed, because he was the seed of Abraham. And Isaac was benefiting from the covenant God had made with his father. And we're blessed because we are the sons of God by faith in Jesus. Galatians 3:9 tells us that. And in Romans 8:17, you'll see there the benefit from the covenant that God has made with us through Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. The Lord swore an oath unto Abraham, and you'll find it in Genesis 22. He swore an oath unto Abraham after he had offered Isaac as a sacrifice. And the Lord also made a covenant with Abraham in Genesis 15. And that is basically just an oath what he's made for him. And in Genesis 26 verse 4, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and will give them all these lands. And through your offspring, All nations on earth will be blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, there's no record in Scripture that Abraham passed the blessing on to Isaac through his words, as Isaac had tried to do with Esau. So this appears to be where Isaac has inherited the blessing, right here and right now from this very verse. But notice the word seed is singular. It says in the NIV, it talks about your offspring. Through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. But the King James speaks about the seed. Somebody have a look at the King James right now. What does it say, please? Can you read the verse? Amen. So it's seed, not seeds. You know, in Paul, in Galatians chapter 3:16, so if you keep your finger in Genesis 26, but turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, and we'll see in there in verse 16 that Paul had been arguing with and from the Galatians in regards to Galatians 3:15, that the promise or covenant given to Abraham was still in force, because no one can add or take away from a legal covenant. Paul was arguing that back in those days with the religious people of his day, with the Galatian people of the day, with the religious leaders of the day. He was still saying, look, that covenant that was established, that covenant that was made with Abraham is still in force today. Amen. You can't break these things. The promise or covenant was made with Abraham and his seed, singular. Now, I've got a plethora of scriptures where I can show you that. I've not got any time to go into these today. But if you do want the scripture references, then please just drop me a line and I can give you these, send these to you via email or text or whatever means you so require. But the promises were not given to Abraham and his seeds, plural, referring to the Jewish people or even to his descendants, but to his seed, his one descendant, who is Jesus Christ. The seed, singular, is Jesus Christ. The Greek word for seed in Galatians is a word called sperma, where we get our word sperm from. The Greek word sperma. And that means seed. For instance, the grain or kernel, which contains within itself the germ of the future plant. Let me say that again because I love it. The seed is the grain or the kernel which contains within itself the germ of the future plant. And Paul would later argue that believers here in this room were the future plants, so to speak, that were in the one seed, in Christ. In Christ. That was his whole argument. Thus, to Abraham personally and to all those who by faith in Christ are brought into salvation were the promises made. These promises have been made to you. These covenants have been made to you. These promises of God have been made to you. These promises are yes and amen through and in Jesus Christ. They're for you. And you'll find these by living by the Spirit. You won't find them having a flesh flash. You won't find them living according to Romans 7, but you certainly will from Romans chapter 8. So God's instruction, God's promise of justification through faith was given long before the introduction of the law and always has been the only way to be justified with God through Jesus. You're in Christ. He is the seed and you are the seed within the seed. Wow, you're that next plant just springing forth. We're in a beautiful season right now of spring. We're seeing daffodils and snowdrops are getting by, but we're seeing daffodils and crocuses and all sorts of wonderful things, buds coming on the trees. It's just such a beautiful time of the year. I just love it. I'll just love to go out walks and drives and just see the countryside and in expectancy. It's, you know, chestnut trees are always the first to bud. They are. They're just always the first to bud. And I just think, you know, has he been lying there all winter? Has he been sleeping there all winter, that tree? Has he been sleeping there all winter knowing that spring's coming? And I wonder how that tree feels when the first wee bit of leaf starts to... maybe I'm stupid, maybe I'm crazy, but I just start to think about nature. You know, I think about these things because creation itself longs for the sons of God to be revealed. Don't tell me that nature doesn't speak. Don't tell me that cattle can't speak. I've told you the story before. One time when I was at my work, and I'll close with this story. Mammy never got anywhere near the wells, but that's okay. I remember one time when I was building an extension, and the extension to this house, the ground was like that, so we had to excavate all the ground, so the ground was now like that. So you've now got a cliff round where the ground had been excavated. So this flat land to build the extension. And the guys had all left site, and I was working away myself that day, and I don't know where they were. I can't remember where they were, but they were all off site apart from me. And there I was, down in this hole, singing away. I was just singing and praising the Lord as I was laying my bricks and my blocks and building this extension. And I was, you know how sometimes you're aware of somebody listening to you, but you can't see anybody? I thought, somebody's listening to me, and I'm looking. I thought, I'm the only guy on site. The customer's gone. There's nobody here. It's just me. I must just be imagining it. So I just started to build away again and work away and sing away. And then I was aware of somebody watching me again, and I looked up. And the minute I stopped, this suspicion that I had disappeared. And I'm looking around, and there's nothing. So a third time, I thought, well, I'll just ignore it and just keep building. So I kept building. And the third time, I was so aware of the presence of something. And I stopped my singing, and I looked up. And looking down this cliff over the fence was about 12 or 15 cows. Every time I sang, they came to listen. Every time I stopped, they walked away. Every time I sang, they came. And I told the guys, because they were always saying, you know, well, they always used to have a go at my singing, and that was okay, I can take that. But, you know, I said, well, watch what happens when I sing. Now, it was old Charlie, you know old Charlie, my son, young Michael Uphill, and Chris Bird was the other guy. I said, well, watch what happens. So I just started to sing a praise song. Shh. Cue the cows. There's the cows looking down. I said, watch what happens when I stop. Cows all went away. Don't tell me creation doesn't know. Don't tell me God's creatures can't see his glory. I believe they saw his glory in me. I remember one time through a story for Gordon, our pal Gordon. He told me a story one time when they were in Spain that a blackbird, some kind of fancy exotic blackbird, had got stuck in the church. And the lady was in there cleaning the church out. Gordon will tell you this story. The lady was cleaning the church out, but she was alarmed for this bird. And she tried everything to catch this bird to release it back out into the open. She couldn't get near it. And the Holy Spirit said to her, sit down on the front row and watch what I will do. But Lord, I want to get the bird out. I'll do it for you. Sit down in the front row and watch what I will do. So she sat down. And she sat there for about 5 minutes. And this bird came and landed on her shoulder. And the Lord said, now get up, go to the doors and out into the street and release the bird. So she got up with the bird on her shoulder and the bird just flew off into the sunset. And she said, Lord, what happened? And the Lord said a beautiful thing to that woman. She said, my creation saw the Creator in you. Now that woman is no more special than you. What's wrong? What's wrong with you thinking? Lord, let your creation, let you the Creator be seen through your creation. And the only reason why it's not happening, you don't believe it. That can happen to somebody else. Why would it happen to me? Well, it doesn't happen to you, Gemma, because that's how you're thinking. I'm not saying you are. I'm picking on you. What's to stop the world? What's to stop the Creator being seen in you? I'll tell you. You. That's all. Just submit. Just yield. We're going to get to this word because this word is so important, I believe, Craig, that you brought a word for the church, a word in season for the church. No man can cap the well. Glenaris is the well. The well is still flowing from the throne of heaven. It's crystal clear water that quenches the thirst of any man in its pure holiness. And we're going to look at people who were jealous of Abraham, of Isaac. They were jealous. They stopped up the wells. Purely selfishness. They weren't even wanting the water for themselves. They just didn't want you to get it. That's something. There's people who don't want your water. They don't need your water, but they're going to do everything to stop you from getting it. They'll stop it up. They'll block it. But we'll also discover that you can stop up the well as well. Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for encouraging us through prayer. Lord, I want this, as Jesus, in the words of Jesus, Father, we want Glenaris to be a house of prayer. Lord, this is our longing, this is our desire. Father, we know the benefits, we know the advantages of your people coming together corporately to pray together. So Lord, my prayer would be, stir us up. And we say us, Father, we include everybody. Stir us up, Jesus, that we would be that people of prayer, committed to prayer, devoted to your house of prayer. Father, help us just to rise up corporately as one, as your body of Christ here in this place. We thank you the saints are growing well. We thank you, Father, they're prospering. Lord, you have called them to this place called there. Lord, let us resist the temptation to go where it might look more bountiful, where it might look more plentiful. Lord, we want to be in the place where you have called us to be. So, Jesus, we thank you for this time. And all God's people said, amen. Can I just close by saying, I want us to be praying for a special lady who's come amongst us. She's going to a new abode. Is it tomorrow you go? Can you remember the name of the place? Burlochin. She's going into care. And we're just excited for you, Laura. You know, we'll be planning on visiting with you and just coming to spend time with you. But we just pray for this new venture in your life. We speak peace. We speak the peace of Jesus over you, sweetheart. I know that you're just open, so open to him, for him to have his way amongst you. So we just pray that you very quickly settle in. We pray you quickly make new friends. You have people, good people around you to encourage you, to inspire you. But church, I want you to be praying for this sweet, sweet lady as she enters into a new time in her life. Laura is such a blessing to all the saints here. So Laura, can we just have a big cheer for Laura? God bless you.